Hey everyone, welcome to episode 65 of Sits and Giggles. I'm your host Casey, and I am joined with Krista. How you doing, Krista?
Decent, not too bad.
Good. That's good.
Kind of.
Well, we have a Star Wars comic to talk about for the first time in months and months and months.
And yeah, which is wild.
Did you have to go back and read the first two?
No, I did not.
Neither did I. Once I started it, I remembered exactly where we left off. We're talking about issue 3 of Darth Vader by Greg Pak. So if you do forget where we left off, this issue is, it takes place immediately after Empire Strikes Back. Vader is kind of on a quest to find the people who made his son weak. And on his quest, he found someone who looks strikingly like his late wife, Padme. And it turned out to be one of the Queen's shadows, Sabe. And Sabe is out for revenge against the people who killed Padme. She has no idea it is Darth Vader himself. And they have done a little team-up. So that's where we're at. They are going to Naboo to search for a holo recording from Padme's apartment. So this comic was amazing. Had a mind-blowing end.
I don't know if it was mind-blowing.
Okay, it had an awesome end. Did I oversell it to you when I told you to read it?
No, it was a great comic, and I absolutely loved it. To me, it wasn't surprising. Like, I had, like, how it played out did not surprise me, them, like, luring him there and using it, like, kind of as a trap. Did not surprise me.
Okay, it surprised me. Okay, I guess the ending of the comic didn't surprise me, but how they got there did. And I'll get into that. But before we do, I want to point something out. So I'm on page 1 of the comic. I'm on the page after, like, the crawl. And you see Vader.
Just Vader, and it says Naboo?
Yes. So I don't know if you remember this from Charles Soule's Darth Vader run, or if you picked up on it when you were reading it, but in those comics, in Vader's early days, when he was still, like, very much, like, tempted by the light side, when he was fighting off, like, the Anakin side of his psyche, whenever we would see him meditating, he would be surrounded by butterflies. And as he was drawing himself more and more into the dark side, the butterflies would disappear. Until finally they were completely gone by the time he accepted himself as Darth Vader. So On this page of the comic, there's some butterflies back. So here we are, like, in the Star Wars timeline, about 6 months away from Vader being, like, Vader redeeming himself and turning on the Emperor and going back to the light side. Butterflies are starting to reappear around Darth Vader. So really proud of myself for noticing that and picking up on that.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
Sometimes I disappoint myself with how much of a freaking nerd I am.
I like how, like, at one instance, it's almost kind of like he notices it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Like, I understand, like, it's meant that he's having the flashback and, like, he's visualized, like, but it's also almost like he's recognizing the butterflies again. So.
Yeah. I think that Vader wants to believe that thinking of his past life and thinking of Padme makes him angry and draws him toward the dark side. But I think that when he thinks of Padme, he kind of gets drawn back to the light. I think that's, like, an inevitable thing for him.
Yes.
And I really enjoy how, as he's walking through, like, the Nayberry, like, estate, he's remembering he's having flashbacks to Attack of the Clones. And
when they were hiding there.
Yeah, and they did this a lot in the first issue of this comic. I really like how they're drawing back towards, like, the prequels for this.
Yeah, I do too, because I think it's so easy to forget about the prequels when we're looking at Vader. Especially with the negative rap that it gets. A lot of people, I think, want to ignore, really, the prequels. They don't want to remember, you know, Anakin. Especially a lot of people hated Attack of the Clones. So I feel like it gets a bad rap, but it is important, and it's important even in the original trilogy. Like, it matters. So I'm glad that the comic is incorporating it.
Yeah, totally agree. And, like, especially since, like, I've kind of, my love for the prequels has kind of returned. Like, I like that we're getting prequel material interspersed with original trilogy era material. Just bring it all back.
Give me more prequel trilogy material, honestly.
Absolutely.
I feel like we don't get enough of it.
No, we don't.
We're so saturated right now with the era between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. Like, be it on one end of the, so saturated with the era right before the original trilogy. Sorry, my bad. And even so a little bit, and, you know, before with Rebels and that kind of stuff, because we've gotten stuff branching off from that a little bit. But we don't really get anything from the prequel trilogy.
No. No, we don't.
It's always like immediate. It's like after it, or almost like immediately before the original trilogy. So it would be neat to get prequel trilogy stuff. And I feel like they could actually do a lot with it. And it might honestly change the way some people feel about it.
Well, I think that we've reached a point where the people who grew up with the prequel trilogy and love the prequel trilogy are now adults. And they're spending money on Star Wars stuff. And I think Lucasfilm realizes that. So they're not hiding from the prequel trilogy anymore. Like
I'm 27 years old, and I never disliked the prequel trilogy ever. Like, I felt no need. I respect that some people don't like it. I think a lot of people are too harsh on them. And I think the same can be said for the sequel trilogy, but I've never had an issue with them. I have never disliked them or, like, refused to watch one of them.
I've never refused to watch them. I wish I can say I never disliked them. I wasted a lot of time doing that. I'm glad I'm not that guy anymore. Okay, so they're in the estate of Padme's family, and Vader gets attacked by two unknown assailants, and he kind of brushes them off with ease, and turns out it is Captain Typho, who we know from Attack of the Clones, and Captain Tonra, who was first, well, okay, technically he was first introduced in The Phantom Menace. He was played by a relatively unknown Richard Armitage at the time.
I don't know who that is now.
Richard Armitage. He was, have you ever seen the Hobbit movies?
Yes.
He played like the head dwarf. The one with like the big beard, and he was brooding and. Okay. No problem.
Nope. Not ringing any bells.
I'm just glad for once I haven't confused you with like an age gap thing.
Yeah, that's just, but
it's usually an age gap thing.
You also are much better than I when it comes to recognizing people, be it voice or, you know, live, like actual acting. You are much quicker at picking up on that stuff than I am. So I don't feel terrible about not knowing who that is.
That's okay. You're right. I mean, I don't know if I should be proud of that or not. Like, when we were watching.
I say own it. There's no reason not to be proud of it, but there's no reason for me to be like.
It makes me happy. Like when we were watching Legends of Korra, like I'm picking out all those names left and right and like texting you about them. So Tanra, we first met him as a main character in Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnston. He was romantically involved with Sabe. After the death of Padme, they kind of like, they went on their little revenge mission, which is still happening like 20 years later. So they talk Vader out of killing them, which is kind of like, I love the line where he says, "No one attacks me and survives unless they prove their value. Why should I let these men live?" Like, that's totally a Vader line.
Oh, 100%. I did enjoy the droid a decent amount in this episode. Because he kind of just threw out the comic. It becomes like a little quip of his when Vader starts to get pissed. To like kind of remind them, like, go do something quick. Like, prove your worth again, please.
So we get another, like, we get some more prequel action when they go to a similar ship that Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan were traveling in The Phantom Menace.
Yes.
They're kind of going towards the core of the planet, and they encounter a big alien sea creature that tries to eat them.
Yes. Yes.
And Vader's having none of that shit. Now, this is where the comic took a turn for me. Oh, wait, no. Before we get to that, we need to talk about the mural that they come across. The mural.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. But wait, before we get to that, I think you're jumping over a major thing that we need to talk about.
Okay.
Is when Sabe tells why...
Yes.
I can't remember his name. Tonron?
Yes, Tonra.
Tonra, when they tell Vader how Tonra was sent by Padme undercover to Tatooine to find Shmi.
Yes.
And get her out of slavery. Like, that's... It never told Anakin. That's...
I've always...
That's wild. Because she would have done that, by the sounds of it, before... obviously, it was before they were together.
It was almost... Okay, so it was after she became a senator. So it was probably like...
Immediately after. As they said, just after.
Yeah.
So like, quickly.
It was probably like 4 years or so after... In Queen's Peril, they talk about how long the terms are, but I don't remember. So it was probably like, let's say, like 4 or 5 years after The Phantom Menace.
So that's what? That's a few years before Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, because Attack of the Clones is pretty much like right at, that's like, I think it's like 10 years, so it's right in the middle. This was a subplot in Queen's Shadow. I've always wondered if Padme ever told Anakin about this, so we have a answer. And like in the book, they find
spoil too much.
What was that? I won't spoil too much, but like, well, you already know that they didn't find Shmi, so like,
obviously, yes.
But like, when they go to their old home, they find like a symbol of a white sun on like their on Pat or on Shmi's door. And White Sun was Aunt Beru's maiden name. So her name was like Beru White Sun Lars. So like it's kind of took that as a clue that like Beru was involved in the freeing of Shmi or the per I think in Attack of the Clones, did Watto say he sold Shmi?
Yes.
Okay. So they kind of bought her to free her, I guess.
I think she got freed because they fell in love. I don't think he freed her just because he wanted to free a slave. I feel like that was very much implied.
That is that is the awkwardness of having slavery in your fantasy story.
It really is.
God, I never thought about how problematic that was until now.
Yeah, like Owen Lars basically freed Shmi because he felt like he fell in love with like that. That's so messed up. But so was the fact that Qui-Gon just left her in slavery. But we've already had this discussion.
Yes, yes, we have had that discussion.
But to think, because I guess I kind of point this out because if you remember, the beginning of Attack of the Clones picks up with Anakin. When we first see him, he's going up in the elevator and he's all nervous and everything. And he's like wondering if she remembered him. And like she very much clearly did, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And that piques Vader's interest. He really wants to know if they found her, which they did not. And that's when they get attacked by the big sea creature, which Vader successfully fights off because he's Darth Vader. And then they retreat into some sort of Gungan structure, and they see a mural, which is it's the mural of the scene from the end of The Phantom Menace, where Boss Nass is holding up the orb, and you've got Anakin, someone, I don't know who that is, Obi-Wan, Padme, Boss Nass, Palpatine, someone I don't know, Jar Jar, and then one of the other Gungans.
Who's a famous Gungan? The guy, he was the general. He was the general.
Yeah, I just don't know his name. But he's the one who said, oh, Jar Jar, you're in deep doo-doo now.
Yes.
Sabe points out that that is Anakin to him, who also died after Vader vanished. And they mourn his loss as much as mourning Padme's. And Vader destroys the mural. So they get the recordings. Now, this is where things took a turn for me. So at this point in the comic, I'm assuming that like they haven't made any connection between Vader and Mustafar in killing Padme, right? So I'm also assuming that they don't know what's on these recordings. So I'm thinking that they're going to play the recordings and it's either going to be the conversation between Anakin and Padme after he raided the temple, or it's going to be the conversation between Obi-Wan and Padme.
Okay. I don't want to say that I was expecting the recording to be what it is, which is, you know, Sabe, Typho, the other guy's name that I can't remember, Tonrux, it's right there on the screen, and like other, and I quote, assorted friends, like making a pact to find whoever killed Padme and kill them. I was not expecting that because I wasn't. But the next part I was expecting.
So at this point, Vader's like, explain yourself. And Typhoo's like, I told you, Vader, the last time I saw Padme, she was heading to Mustafar to find Skywalker. And Sabe says, years later, we learned that Mustafar was your domain. You killed them, didn't you? And then you see Padme lying on the landing pad, and you see Anakin lying on the shore of the lava river. And they attack Vader. Well,
Vader says...
No, they don't attack Vader. They
ignite his lightsaber.
Yeah. And then they do something to draw in the giant sea creature, and this is all a big suicide pact amongst Typhoo, Tonra, and Sabe.
Yes.
And they are making it clear that this is for Padme and Anakin, because they are so close to figuring it out.
They are, which is wild, but at the same time, they haven't put the pieces together.
I kind of wonder if this... I want this to end with, like... Well, first of all, we know Vader gets out of this.
Obviously.
We don't know what happens to the other three. Like, I wonder, like, if this ends with, like...
Well... No, you're correct. Continue.
I wonder if this ends with, like, Vader admitting who he really is, like, before he kills all three of them.
I'm gonna go out on a leap here, and okay. I could be very wrong with this. But I see something happens, and Vader keeps Sabe alive on, like, pure, you know, like, muscle memory of, oh shit, Padme's in danger. And then I think she puts two and two together.
I like that. I like your leaps. You should go on leaps more often.
They give me anxiety.
Your idea is better than mine. Because your idea really...
I can't see him admitting it. I can't see him admitting that he is Anakin. I find it much more likely that Sabe puts two and two together because he does something. Because I could easily see him doing something like that, because we've kind of already seen it in the previous issues.
That's true. Yeah, no, I like your idea because it leans into him being Anakin. It leans into his feelings for Padme and, like, the conflict that that gives. I want to know, and I hope the comic answers this, I want to know if Sabe knows about Luke and Leia. Or Luke or Leia.
I'm trying to... remember if my assumption would be no, because she was buried while she to instill appeared pregnant.
Yes.
Like, it was very much clear that the children were going to be kept a secret, that nobody must know that they lived. Because if you don't, you know, make the assumption that she died while still pregnant, there's always going to be that lingering, okay, well, what then happened to the kids? Because if the kids were born and died, then why wouldn't they be getting buried as well? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I feel like to sell it, they had to make her, everybody under the assumption, that the baby, because I clearly nobody knew it was twins, because there's no such thing as women's health care.
Not even Padme knew it was twins.
So I think I don't think Sabe knew about Luke or Leia. Would be my assumption.
I want to know when issue 4 is coming out. I don't want to wait 6 months for this again.
Yeah, no, that would be bullshit.
The fucking pandemic. It ruins everything.
I'm flipping back through issue 2 real quick.
Okay.
Because I want to say there's a distinct moment where Anakin has, like, a brief, fantasy.
Okay.
Of like having Sabe back, kind of like. Yeah, so it's not. So it's not really a fantasy, but he starts to have the compare, like when they're fighting those that weird squid, crab scorpion things. I don't know what they are. There's a series of three panels of Sabe fighting, you know, one of them, and there's a shot of like him remembering Padme in the arena. If you're looking for it, it's page 17.
Okay, I'm on page 11 where he says, "Who are you? Tell me, don't be afraid." And she says, "I'm not afraid." And that takes her back to before the arena when Padme says, "I'm not afraid."
Yes.
Okay, so let me go to 17.
So, yeah, 17.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, he's clearly, like...
He's shook.
In his mind, like, these instances where, like, you know, Sabe's just in action. He's remembering Padme and feeling like it's Padme. So, like, I could easily see him, you know, instinctively protecting her, even though she's trying to kill him.
Yes. Oh, and then there's the scene where they're burying the bodies of her compatriots. And, like, you know, like, normally Vader would have no patience for something like
that. Yes.
But she says, like, they were good soldiers who walked with me at Padme's funeral. And, like, it's like, even though the mask doesn't change, and this is why I love the artwork of these comics, even though the mask doesn't change, you can still see he has a facial expression there.
Yeah, you can see his feelings. Like, they do a really good job.
Who is the artist, Raphael Ineco? I hope I didn't mispronounce that. He is the artist for these comics. I love how he does that. I wonder if he's on Twitter. I want to compliment him on the way he does that.
Well, and then you have their wedding scene at the very end of the comic where Padme says, don't be afraid to Anakin. And his response, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
I'm angry. And then you just see Sabe right behind him, like kind of like sitting on his shoulder, almost like it's not Sabe, but like that it's like Padme, like being his conscience in a way, like there to remind him that he's not, you know, 100% evil.
Okay, he is on Twitter, and I am going to compliment him on this. So, I was going to ask what you wanted to see from issue 4, but I guess we've already talked about that.
Yeah, I would say we did.
Next week, we've got Star Wars number 5.
Okay.
I might have to go back and read the first 4 issues of this one.
That's a possibility. Yeah, I'll just forget.
I'll give you a synopsis if you need it, if you don't have the time to go back and do that.
Okay, so you know me. It's not if I have the time. It's more or less, do I have the motivation?
I will give you a synopsis.
So.
All right, do you have any other Star Wars related things? Oh, The Mandalorian got 15... Emmy nominations.
And it makes me really sad that we're probably not gonna actually get I feel terrible. This is probably like the one time upset that there's not gonna be a red carpet, like a legitimate red carpet, because I wanted to see Baby Yoda on the red carpet.
Yes.
Because, well, you know what would have happened.
Well, maybe we'll get like the maybe they'll do like a Zoom thing
with Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll get, like, Baby Yoda in a Zoom meeting.
Perhaps. I don't know. Perhaps.
I'm also disappointed that we won't get, like, Taika Waititi on the red carpet, because he was nominated for, like, Outstanding Voice Performance for IG-11.
Yes. As he should have been, because he was great.
Oh, and he did confirm that he has begun writing his Star Wars movie. And I think that's coming in 2023.
Ooh, I sent it to you, but now I can't remember. I'll find it. Give me 1 second. Give me a second. See all links. Here we go. All right. We found out yesterday, or at least I did, that this might not be completely new information, that the casting for the Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars series is apparently searching for twin siblings, a boy and a girl, ages 8 to 11.
Yes.
So, we know, I guess, approximately where we'll be taking place.
About halfway between.
Yep.
And that also, I mean...
Also, it's bullshit that apparently we're only now getting 4 episodes.
Yeah, but we don't know how long those episodes are going to be. So, like, let's hold off our anger. Let's hold off our nerd rage until we get that answer.
True. Okay, fair.
I think my biggest, like, worry about this series was, how's it going to be interesting if it's solely set on Tatooine? Because I refuse to believe that Obi-Wan leaves Tatooine without a really good reason. But I guess we'll get something, at least in Alderaan, whether Obi-Wan's involved with that or not.
I mean, I guess it also could be something as simple as, you know, a holograph, like a hologram, or a fucking force vision.
It could be. I guess
maybe we're thinking too much into it. But I know you say you don't believe that he would leave Tatooine without a good reason. And I'm confident to say that I feel like he probably had one or two good reasons to leave it a few times.
Okay, let me rephrase. He needs a really good reason to leave Luke.
Yes, I still feel like, I feel like if he knew there was some sort of threat, or, like, somebody possibly knew something about Luke or Leia, that he would leave then.
I wouldn't be
surprised by that.
One of, like, the wish list items I've seen for the series is the main antagonist being Commander Cody. Like, finding Obi-Wan and going to finish the job. Like, I guess, like, we can, like, guess, like, Obi-Wan could, like, get wind of someone searching for him, so, like, he leaves Tatooine to draw them away. Or maybe, like, maybe Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru and Luke go on a vacation off-planet, and Obi-Wan's like, fuck it, I'm leaving this place for a week.
Like a hangover style.
I'm going to Canto Bight.
Perhaps. Perhaps Yoda calls him to Dagobah.
Could be.
Or something, because Yoda's still alive, and Yoda would probably be relatively more senile, or not senile, relatively more sane than we see him in the original trilogy when he meets up with Luke.
That's also a possibility, although... I've always thought that, like, I don't think Yoda was ever really senile. I think he just really liked messing with Luke.
I don't disagree.
Like, we've seen his sense of
humor. Kind of reminds me of King Boomy.
Yeah.
Avatar.
I can see that.
Where he seems batshit crazy, but he's just really doing it because at this point he's like, I'm old, I don't give a shit.
No, I can definitely see that. Man, I can't wait till that comes out. I guess that's coming out next year. And oh, we got a casting rumor for the Cassian Andor series. And that just sent my brain off in a million different directions. So apparently Tarkin is going to be in the Cassian Andor series. And this, of course, is, I think this is set like 5 years before Rogue One. If Tarkin is going to be in the Cassian series, then there's no reason why Krennic can't be in the Cassian series. If Krennic is going to be in the Cassian series, we might as well have Galen Erso in the Cassian series. And if we're going to have Tarkin in the Cassian series, we might as well have Thrawn. Thrawn is voiced by Lars Mikkelsen, who looks like Thrawn, which is why I've always insisted he was cast as the voice actor. Galen Erso is played by his brother, Mads Mikkelsen. I want to see a scene where Mads and Lars Mikkelsen are acting together. I want two Mikkelsens in one scene.
In Star Wars. That would be neat.
And that's my one and only wish list for the Cassian series. So, all right, do you have any other Star Wars stuff before we end this?
No, I don't think so.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. We will be back next week with more Star Wars comic talk. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. You can follow Krista at...
I'm also on Twitter at Critter, it's K-R-I, 3 T's, E-3 R's.
All right, and check us out on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for listening. Bye.